Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. I'm Dan Hurst. There's Mark sitting over there. And Mark Halleck has joined us also. It's a pleasure to have you guys all together. We are in Spurgeon Library at Midwestern Theological Seminary. We appreciate them loaning us the studio and making it possible for us to cover some topics that some are fun, some are insightful, and some of them are very difficult. And today's session is one of those that can be very difficult because I guarantee you every pastor has to go through something like this, and that is dealing with the issue of suicide. You probably know this, that over the last several years, the number of suicides in our culture continues to rise. And it's especially among young people, which is so disconcerting. And many of the people that you preach to on a Sunday morning have an acquaintance, maybe a family member, that has committed suicide. And one of the questions that always comes up, if you've ever done a funeral for somebody who committed suicide, one of the questions that always comes up is, can a Christian take their own life? Did this person go to heaven? You know, this person who committed, they were a Christian? And are they in heaven? So it's a critical question raised by our family and loved ones. And on today's podcast, we're exploring something with the help of a great article written by Miguel Nunez, talking about this very thing. We hope it'll give you a handle on how you can minister to people in your congregation that may be dealing with something like this. Mark?
All right. Well, there are six things we're going to look at on this podcast that, again, we'll put these in the show notes, as well as the article written by Miguel, and hopefully that will help you as you deal with people whose family members have committed suicide. They're so fragile at that point, and the question, you know, we all often get is, well, they were a Christian. Does a Christian? Because in many cases, much of the Roman Catholic Church would say it's a mortal sin. You don't, and that kind of thing. And so some people believe if you commit suicide, you're not going to go to heaven. Either you weren't a Christian, or that invalidates it, or something like that. And so here's some answers you can give them. Number one, let's just all agree, humanity is totally depraved, mm-hmm. all of us.
Yes,
we are all in a sinful, broken state. Even though we're regenerate and we've been redeemed and we've been claimed by Him and we are His children and we have a new home and our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are not, this corruptible has not yet put on incorruption. Uh-huh. We are still corruptible. Yeah. And we are still in a totally depraved humanity. And so suicide, like so many other things in our culture, is a symptom of totally depraved humanity.
Yeah, that's right.
Satan, from the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. has all been about death, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and he is still about death.
Yeah.
No matter what, he that's who he is.
That's right.
He's death. And so when you look at suicide, it's a sign of our depraved. It's not just the one individual who committed suicide. It is a sign, a symptom of that humanity is totally depraved. Now, the good news is one day this earth will pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, yeah. and there'll be no more depravity.
Yeah.
There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sorrow. That day's not today.
Yeah.
So suicide is a symptom that we are still in this time and that humanity is totally depraved.
And you mentioned depraved. The fact that Satan is at the root of so much of it. It is a tool that he uses
yeah.
in his church or
right.
in our church,
yeah. right.
you know, in God's church. And boy, will he use that tool to really, really destroy people's psyches.
Well, know? Absolutely. I mean, when we talk about total depravity, we're talking about every part of who we are has been affected by sin.
Exactly.
So we're not, it's not as sinful as we possibly could be, but every part of who we are has been affected deeply by sin. And that includes our minds.
Yes.
So when we're talking about suicide, we're talking about, guess what? Our brains and our emotions, they don't work mm-hmm. the way they're supposed to work fully. Now, the Lord Jesus, by His grace and the Spirit, is sanctifying us, but we're still broken this side of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so you combine that with a real enemy who lies to us, and this can be a very bad, bad combination, yeah. a dangerous combination.
We're actually going to talk a little bit about that later on
yeah,
in the podcast.
We are.
And so think about that. Keep thinking about what Mark just said. But, you know, here's the bottom line. line, is sin, I mean, is suicide an unforgivable sin?
Well, the scripture is helpful in this regard, Mark, because the Bible does indicate there is one sin. Jesus says there's one sin that is unforgivable. And, you know, we talk about the unforgivable sin, and there's been, you know, a lot of talk and discussion and debate. But I think we all, most would have agreed that in some form and fashion, that is the, obviously it's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
What's that look like?
Right.
It would be the rejection of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
It is the convicting of the Holy Spirit that draws us to salvation.
Yes.
Without that, we can't be drawn to salvation.
That's
so
right.
If we reject the Holy Spirit, there's no hope of salvation. There's no hope of forgiveness. So the unpardonable sin would be
The rejection, and I would say the ongoing rejection of the Holy Spirit, which is different than quenching the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all quench the Spirit, right, in our sin. What this is talking about is a deeper, ongoing, kind of volitional rejection of the Holy Spirit, which essentially says rejecting Christ, rejecting the gospel ongoingly, very purposely. And so I think that's what we see in the New Testament. And so again, so suicide, you know, I can remember years ago when I was a youth pastor, it was the first, man, that I can remember the first funeral that I had been to of, it was a young person that had been in part of our youth group, and he committed suicide. And I'm watching this pastor, and I'm like, man, how's he going to handle this? You know what I mean? I mean, I was like, I just don't know what he... And I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know what? the Lord doesn't judge us based on, you know, when it comes to heaven and hell, based on the last thing we did, but based on what Christ did on the cross and through his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are in Christ, that's, we are judged according to Christ and what he has done, and we are declared righteous through him. And I thought of that because I'm like, man, isn't that true? And so I think when we look biblically, even the sin of suicide, as awful as this is, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our depravity, is not an unforgivable sin. And I think, you know, the David and Uriah point, which I guess is coming up, is I think an interesting.
Yeah. So again, the Bible does make it clear there is only one sin that's unforgivable, and you're right, it is the persistent, consistent resistance of the Holy Spirit. It is not suicide.
Yeah.
Thirdly, Christ's atonement forgives us of all sins, past and future. Now, some people would say, well, wait a minute, that person committed suicide. They didn't have time to repent of that sin. You get in a car wreck. Have you repented of every sin you committed that day or that week? Or, you know, if you die instantly, or if you die over a period of time, are there some sins you didn't repent of?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not that we have to repent of it. We repent of it in order that our relationship with Christ is returned, that we are edified, that we find joy and fellowship, and it's for our own edification. Yeah. We don't repent because if we don't, we're not going to be forgiven in terms of our eternal salvation.
That's right.
We're saved. Christ, when he said it is finished, that is for all who be redeemed, past, present, and future sins.
That's right.
So you can tell these loved ones, if your loved one was a follower in Christ, then even this sin of taking their own life was forgiven.
If you don't believe that, we're saved, then it's a works-based
salvation.
There's just no way around it.
Now, this other one that Miguel points out, I would never have thought about this or gone here.
Yeah.
And it's a little hard to hear, but I understand where he's coming from. He talks about David being a man after God's own heart. David, obviously the chosen one of God, no doubt about it. Even when he sinned against Bathsheba, he was still God's chosen one. And then what did he do? He took Uriah's life.
Yeah.
And in taking Uriah's life, as sinful as that was, it did not invalidate his salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So if taking another person's life did not invalidate David's salvation, then taking one's own life would certainly not invalidate our salvation.
Mm.
It's a hard question, you know, that you may disagree with, but, you know, can a Christian out of rage or something commit an act of murder and repent of it and still go to heaven? Well, we would have to say yes.
Yeah.
Well, because suicide isn't greater than God's redemptive act on the cross.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so suicide is always the result of a state of mind, which we'll talk about in just a moment here. But the fact of the matter is, if God's grace and mercy is greater than all my sin, and all the sin of the world, then it includes the sin of suicide.
Number five, this is so important. We must factor in the emotional distress and the lack of clarity at the moment of suicide. Yeah. And I listen, I am not a Baptist theologian, let alone a Roman Catholic theologian, okay? But many times I think in the Roman church where they say suicide is a mortal sin, they do say that unless the person was not in their right mind at the time and they didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so many times that's where that ends up. They would say, well, yes, they weren't aware of what they were doing. They weren't in their right mind. And I think all of us would probably agree that for someone to get to that point, the emotional stress, the lack of clarity, all of those things, back to the human depravity of the mind, the incredible power and I should say the incredible menacing of demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Satan is not omnipresent and omniscient. He cannot be all places at all times. Mm-hmm. He does not know everything. But Satan does have an unknown number of demons. And I am not uncomfortable saying mm-hmm. that someone who takes their own life, as a believer in Christ, I don't believe they can be demon-possessed. But we've all been demon-tormented.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the torment that comes yep. even from demons doing that kind of torment, you have to factor that in. The emotional distress,
absolutely.
The demon torment that brings that moment. It just takes a moment of
right.
lack of clarity.
That's right.
And let's be honest, most people who take their life, dear ones, they don't do it. They think, oh, what a selfish thing to do. No, most of them mm-hmm. actually have come to a place to believe. Again, through emotional distress and I think demon torment, to believe that everybody would be better off if I weren't here.
Yeah.
I think most believe I'm doing everybody a favor.
Which brings up an interesting point, I think, and that is we all pretty much, I would think, agree with the idea of the age of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a child, you know, dies, you know, never reached the age mm-hmm. of accountability. We know that we're going to see that child again in heaven. But there's also along a correlation to that, and that is the state of accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you are so mentally distressed and tormented that you can't think straight, there is a state of accountability that has to be considered there.
And lastly, you know, everyone would say that absolutely suicide's an irrational act. The fact that you go around and see billboards with the number, I believe it's 811, because we realize across our nation so many people are committing suicide, it seems such like it is an irrational act. But listen, sin is an irrational act.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
John Piper was preaching from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is Capernaum and he's teaching, and the demons come out and say, "You are the Son of God."
Mm.
And of course, Jesus speaks to the demons and he tells them to be quiet. And then Jesus says, "Come out."
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? The demons come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Piper said, "If you're a demon, why are you going to acknowledge where you are?" He said, "That's like demonic suicide."
Wow.
Why don't you flee?
Yeah.
Why do you come before the mm-hmm. Son of God and say, "I know who you are. You're the Son of God"? Because he's going to destroy you. Come out.
That's right.
And he did.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
And I love what Piper said. He said, "Demons are irrational because sin is irrational."
Mm.
Demons, they behave irrationally.
That's
they
right.
don't behave rationally.
Yeah.
That's what sin is. It's all irrational.
It's all irrational.
Have you ever committed a sin in your
that's
life
right.
that was rational?
No.
It's
no.
always irrational.
It's all irrational.
It seemed rational at the time.
Yes,
well,
but you know it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, it is an irrational act, but all of sin is irrational.
Yes.
And we've all sinned and come short of the glory
that's
of
right.
God.
That's right.
So hopefully these things will be helpful to you as you continue to minister and care for families of those who've committed suicide. Now, dear ones, we've talked about someone that we know is a believer who committed suicide. I think, Pastor, one of the hardest things we will have to do and we do in our life is deal with family members whose loved one committed suicide and there's no real belief that that person was in Christ. That's true with any death they have. I do know sometimes when you're talking about the death of someone who doesn't know Christ, did not profess faith in Christ in life. Even my friend Jim Eliff said, we can't know for sure that at the last few moments of that person's life, even if they were in a coma, we can't know for sure that God didn't give them a brief moment of clarity, open their eyes to their sin, and even without using their mouth, they would turn their heart to Him. We don't know that that didn't happen. you get to a suicide of someone who doesn't know Christ, it's a little more challenging to come to that conclusion. So we're talking here about those who profess Christians who commit suicide. If you're talking about those who are not professed Christians, we'll need to deal with that on another occasion. That's a very challenging topic.
Well, we need to understand that we don't preach anybody into heaven.
No.
But we don't preach anybody into hell either.
I agree.
And so as when we're leading in a funeral service of somebody who has committed suicide, I think it's important for us to understand that we're not dealing with the soul of this person. That's
right.
Already been dealt with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now we're dealing with the hope and the future and the despair of the family.
Of the people.
That's what we address, and that's the hope that comes in Christ.
That's good.
Anyway, we'll attach this to the notes, and hopefully this article will be helpful to you. Stay with us. The next episode coming up is going to be how to minister to family following a suicide.
We'll talk about that in our next episode, and I hope you'll join us then. And certainly feel free to leave any comments and pass those along to us. This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.